In plain sight, Jeremy from Kentucky on your Friday night broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send much needed fundage. Free speech ain't free. Call that in at 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, and donate with your credit or debit card. You can mail in your check or well-concealed cash to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if you purchase $100 of free speech, then you can get a mug or a t-shirt. So if you want that t-shirt, make sure you include your size, and either one you want, include your address so that we can send that to you. And we're going to get away a little bit from health and wellness tonight and cover the ongoing saga of students and parents protesting the unconstitutional mask mandate from Governor Beshear in Kentucky, as well as the Kentucky State School Board. The school board has mandated a 270-day mask mandate for students. Yes, going on into May of 22. Like we've said, this is never going to end. Patrick and I started covering this on Wednesday night. And just to bring you up to speed, let me sort of lay out how this is going down, and then we'll hit the articles. So Tuesday, about 5 p.m. Central, Governor Beshear of Kentucky, who before Tuesday, the masks were going to be left up to local superintendents of schools to decide whether or not their children wore the mask. And about three-fourths of the state decided that they would leave it up to the parents. You want to wear the mask, wear it. You don't, don't. And at the 11th hour, Governor Beshear had signed an executive order stating that all students would wear masks, all students and faculty would wear masks. That was on Tuesday. So Wednesday, you had just a handful of students showing up without masks. Nothing was said. And in Western Kentucky, in Hickman County, on Wednesday night, there was a school board meeting with parents attending to discuss this mandate of the mask. So we covered that. Patrick and I covered that. I was there. I gave a speech at the school board. And basically, the parents told the superintendent and the school board, like our children are not wearing the mask. We've already decided this is the stand we're taking. And at that time, the superintendent was not going to enforce the mask mandate. He was not going to discipline students or send them home as of Wednesday night. Also, you had going on in Marshall County, Kentucky, their superintendent was actually taking up a legal fight to try to get around the mask mandate. And that made news. We covered that on the Wednesday night show, and actually the Tuesday night show and the Wednesday night show here on In Plain Sight. So Thursday of this week, the Kentucky State Board of Education convened, and they mandated a 270-day mask mandate. And basically, the Kentucky State School Board and the governor, Beshear, threatened the superintendents and said, if you don't enforce this, then you'll be open to all sorts of litigation. If one student contracts coronavirus, you can be legally liable. This is straight up Bolshevik tactics that were used, governing through fear and intimidation, because they could not legally tell these superintendents to enforce a mask mandate, so they threatened them. That's basically how it went down. So we've got a little bit of news coverage here that I want to play. The first item up is WPSD Local 6 news out of Paducah, Kentucky, covered the Hickman County school board meeting where the parents voiced their opposition to masks. Now, my speech was not included in this, but they had clips of different people getting up and speaking, and it kind of gives you the overall vibe. Mike, if you have that queued up, let's play that WPSD Local 6 clip, and then we'll analyze.
In Hickman County, Kentucky tonight, district leaders there held a meeting discussing their return to school plan. Many parents spoke, expressing their displeasure with the governor's executive order requiring masks mandated in school. One in particular saying he believes Beshear's overstepping his authority with the latest mandate.
I'm done. I think everybody here is done. We've been pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. It's not about the mask. I'm not a scientist. I'm certainly not a doctor. The mask work, the mask don't work. I have no idea. The vaccine works, the vaccine doesn't. I have no idea. It's about the mandate. We will not be mandated to anymore. So,
at times, things got tense between the superintendent and parents, with parents voicing their concerns that they don't feel like they're being heard.
We are trying to do our very best to be able to work through the executive order that's come down. The best thing to say is
answer the question.
I understand that.
I don't think you do.
I do. I assure you I do more.
We voted y'all in. Stand with us. Or we can vote somebody else in.
Like Marshall County, Hickman says they're looking into litigation to get around the governor's executive order.
Okay, so that was a clip from the media coverage on the Wednesday night school board meeting in Hickman County, Kentucky. And keeping in mind that Marshall County superintendent was trying to push back on this legally. So Thursday, then, you had the Kentucky State Board of Education do their 270-day mask mandate. And I'm going to have to pull this up on another phone because I just had one of my devices go completely out. But no, basically that was what it was. So the Kentucky State Board of Education, totally unelected. They're appointed by the governor, and they quadrupled down. I don't know what you would call it, but they said, no, the governor's order was 30-day mask mandates for schools. We're going to make it 270 days until we hear from the CDC or the Kentucky State Health Department. Otherwise, and then after they hear from them, they're going to take 24 hours to decide. So basically, an unelected body in Frankfurt is going to decide the personal decisions of health for students and taking that out of the hands of the elected school boards in the various counties. Now, in Kentucky, every county has a school board and every county has a superintendent. So they just ran right over the superintendents and the school boards locally and took it upon themselves to mandate a 270-day mask mandate. But it gets even better. Here are the Bolshevik tactics coming in. The school board, as well as the state school board, as well as the governor, who have already, heard the news and read the news and watched the news about the superintendents and parents that are pushing back. The state school board and the governor of Kentucky said, if you superintendents don't enforce this, we will make sure that you're punished by the state. You will be held liable for any lawsuits of students and parents who have contracted COVID-19 since you didn't enforce the mask mandate, and you will pay for their treatment. Think about that. That is the true definition of neo-Bolshevism, governing through fear and intimidation. They had every one of these superintendents and school boards pissing down their legs Thursday. So keep in mind that since Wednesday, after the pushback, students all day Thursday came in without masks. Friday, they followed suit. Students came in without masks. But this morning, what happened? This morning, students were sent home that weren't wearing the mask. And in the Hickman County School District of approximately 320 high school students, 9 through 12th grade, you had about 150 that either were sent home or walked out. And you had about 6 to 8, I'm not sure exactly on the number, of teachers that wouldn't wear the mask that were asked to leave. So the school pretty much shut down today. And that's where we're at. So pull up this article on the Kentucky State Board of Education. if you want to look that up. If you want to check out the other articles we highlighted, just go to WPSD Local 6, Paducah, Kentucky, and you can catch that. You can also go to WestKentuckyStar.com and catch the articles there. Anyway, WDRB.com. Kentucky Board of Education approves emergency regulation requiring masks in public schools into 2022. Out of Louisville, the Kentucky Board of Education unanimously approved an emergency regulation on Thursday requiring masks inside public schools into 2022, on the heels of a similar executive order issued by Governor Andy Beshear earlier this week. The emergency regulation will be in effect for up to 270 days, and the board will consider rescinding it 24 hours after changes in recommendations from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention or the Kentucky Department for Health on universal masking. Special meetings require a 24-hour notice before they begin. So basically, they're not going to rescind it because the CDC is not going to back off of this. They will make the students wear the mask. Now, what's the importance of this? Well, the importance of this is the basis of my speech that I gave both tonight and on Wednesday at the school board in Hickman, is that it's not about a mask. They are mandating the mask. The Kentucky Board of Education just proved that they can mandate whatever they want. They're unelected, they're appointed against the will of the not only the people, but of the superintendents and the school boards who did not want to go along with this. And that if you don't comply, they will use fear and intimidation to force you to comply. That is the textbook definition of Bolshevism. That is Bolshevism at its peak. So that's where we're at. So today you had about 150 students in Hickman that were sent out of school, as well as staff, teachers, faculty. So we called a meeting of the school board tonight, of which I just attended. Before we go there, before we cover that meeting, I do want to bring up, as Patrick and I was talking about, Daniel Cameron, totally based, my man Dan, is pushing against this legally. He's basically saying that Beshear has no right to mandate this executive order, especially when the General Assembly of Kentucky and our legislator has put forth legislation stating that the governor has overstepped his bounds and that he has no legal right to act this way. He is violating Kentucky constitutional law, and this is all being held up in the court system. Now it's going to the Kentucky Supreme Court, of which only three of which are Republican. I know we don't care about Republican and Democrat. They're all compromised. But in this state, in this particular situation, the three Republicans are against the virus regime, and they're for the people. You know, the other members on the Supreme Court of Kentucky are liberal, and they will side with Beshear and the virus regime. And this is on WestKentuckyStar.com. Frankfort Attorney General Daniel Cameron says the latest mandate for mask usage in schools is a violation of state law. Cameron filed a response with the Kentucky Supreme Court on Wednesday, arguing that Governor Andy Beshear's latest executive order disregards laws passed by the Kentucky General Assembly earlier this year. He says it also violates a court injunction in Boone County, Kentucky. And a press release from Cameron says the legitimacy of our government depends on the governor respecting the judicial power of the courts and the lawmaking power of the legislature. And right now, he is disregarding both. So what Cameron's talking about is, even though Beshear knew that this was highly disputed, that the legislature itself said that he was acting unconstitutionally, he rushes in there and he empties out his ink pens on executive orders stating that Kentucky students must wear masks for the next 30 days. And then the State Board of Education backs him and quadruples down, saying that, no, not 30 days. Students have to wear them into 2022, all into May, 270 days, the whole school year. And by the way, superintendents, if you don't enforce this, you could be sued and we're not going to back you up. You'll be punished by the state. That was the lingo. And just to cover that point, you can go to thehill.com, right? Thehill.com, and I've got this pulled up here. Andy Beshear, quoted by thehill.com. Headline reads, Kentucky governor says to school officials, trying to skirt state's mask mandate. Good luck. And we say to Andy Beshear, who is going to try to get reelected in 2 years, students and teachers and parents say, good luck. Anyway, from the Hill article, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear wished officials who were considering defying a recent statewide mask mandate in schools, good luck. And Beshear vowed that the state would hold them accountable. Beshear says when someone gets hurt, and they will, if you're refusing to do the right thing, good luck. Beshear said on Thursday to the Associated Press, Beshear said, I think you'll be held accountable. So it covers the order issued by Beshear on Tuesday, and he cites high hospitalization rates to justify his order and so on and so forth. Then the article highlights how Daniel Cameron is fighting him on this. So Beshear said, those that are criticizing, none of them talk about how serious the virus is. None of them are talking about how serious the Delta virus is. None of them are talking about hospitalizations. And none of them, when they get a microphone, are saying, please get vaccinated. That means they're sowing at least a misinformation or confusion. So Beshear going all out on this with the Kentucky State Board backing him using just total gangster Bolshevik tactics to whip these West Kentucky superintendents in line who dared to defy him and the COVID regime. That's what's going on here. And that brings us to the school board meeting tonight, which I attended and I made a speech. They haven't publicized this yet, but WPSD News was right there. Pretty sure I got on air this time. So Wednesday night in Hickman County, you had about 100 parents show up. Tonight, you had about 400. The gym was packed. The parking lot was packed. The school board got up. The superintendent was standing there. The school board said, basically, this is how it is. You're going to wear the mask if you want to come to school. Otherwise, you do distance learning, and any student that does distance learning cannot participate in sports. Then they adjourned the meeting and packed up and started walking out, and everybody in the crowd started jeering and ridiculing them. And we were saying, you're not getting out of here without hearing from us. So about half the school board left, and you had about 3 faithful members that cared about the people that stayed. And you had about 4 individuals get up. I was one of them that gave speeches that basically said, our school board and our superintendent in Hickman County, as well as the other school boards and superintendents in Kentucky, were bullied. They were threatened to enforce the mask mandate or be sued. That's how it went down. We're going to be back on the other side of the break to further analyze this and take your calls on In Plain Sight. There is freedom without trying to catch the deluge in a paper cup. There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me. Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Head now, don't dream it's over. Head now, when the world comes in, they come, to build a wall between us. No, they won't win.
Okay, we're back. In Plain Sight on a Friday night, normally your health and wellness edition. Please forgive me, but we're doing a third night in the row of coverage of the local protests of school boards in Kentucky meeting with the public and voicing their outrage against this 270-day mask mandate, which is being implemented with Bolshevik tactics. By the way, the Marshall County, Kentucky, school board was due to meet on Monday night after this weekend. They canceled. They don't want to hear from the public. And the superintendent of Marshall, who was so vocal on resisting this legally, has been stifled and brought to heel. And he now says that he will enforce mask mandates in the school. So you threaten these guys' paychecks and threaten them with legal litigation, and they fold and fall like a house of cards. That's where we're at. But the people are having none of it. We had people from Marshall County come over to Hickman County. It's about a 50-minute drive, maybe an hour for some people, and attended our school board meeting. So there is a pushback at the lower level, and I'm feeling good about it. Let's go on to your calls. We have calls racking up, and then we'll move on to more headlines if necessary. First, we have Reb from Colorado. Reb, the break's going to catch you, but we will hold you over. You got the floor, my friend.
Oh, goody. This is Bo Scout Rev, and I'm finding links on the Internet, so I'm going to keep talking this up on the radio. And we got one from the John B. Wells link from a station, I don't know where it is, 101.5, 1400 AM. It's FM and AM station called The Patriot. And it talks about, he said, Bo Scout Rev is a $50 handle. I remember him saying that. And it's the link there, somelibrary.org, and we're getting attention. Soon we'll have people with horns on their heads saying, support and the prophets of Bubba Scout Rev, gods of war. That's what we want to do this, because we got to do our job. Somebody should make us, because we remember the great George Wallace night. Well, Bubba and Scout weren't there, but I was. And he was only on 37 state ballots. And what he said is as true as it ever was. There's not a dime's worth of difference between the Dems and the Republicans. They're all the same. And we're liberals, so we ain't have nothing to do with them. And that's what's getting around. We got to do our job. We're not doing it. It's public law. It's paid for. And back then, it was Nixon stirring up the riot when he won the election, and that George Wallace took 5 states, and he was on a ballot in 37 states. They wouldn't let him on Lyndon Johnson's Texas ballot, so they couldn't win. But they would have won the war. They wouldn't have this garbage. And when we look back in 1968, those pygmies started the riot in Chicago. Nixon started the riots after that. But that first major big confrontation that was a riot was started by the Chicago pygmies, they called them. The other side was the freaks. And then Nixon brought together two factions that were the same. One was the YAF, Young Americans for Freedom, and the YAWF, the Youth Against War and Fascism, which is the same garbage that they all wear those faggoty bell pants. I would never wear that crap, but they wore them, both sides. But the difference was the WYAF, YAWF, you know what I mean. They wore the tie-dyed shirts, and the Nixon youth wore the button-down. But they're all the same. Then Nixon, after his first, he brought in the UN, the CHICOM, the 10 federal regions, and the whole 911 system to destroy America from within and stirred up all the riots with the pygmies. He would use them in the federal regions like where you are now. It's all localized through the United Nations. And he was the one who was Eisenhower's United Nations hitman, and that scumbag Eisenhower started the UN destroying America, and he finished it off. He surrendered as soon as he won the greatest landslide in history in 72, and then he kept doing this. And your listeners don't even know what they're supporting anymore. They call in, don't know what the hell they're supporting. And this last leader, he proved it. You can't elect anyone in America. And he got the big crowd, bigger than Bob Hope. When he showed up at his concerts, everybody was lining up for miles to get in just to hear him. So he was a crowd drawer, a crowd pleaser, but he was like just for show. He didn't do nothing good. Nothing's good in America. And now you're going to have to cover your nose and mouth, Sharia. And we're going to have a rerun. I called the Secretary of Defense last night, and I said, oh, no, not again. 1975, April 30th, crawling off the roof of the American Embassy in Saigon with the helicopter, trying to hang from the bottom of the helicopter. They've had skids then. I don't know if they can hang from the wheels of the Black Hawk, but that's what's going to happen in Kabul. But that was in time for May 30th, April 30th for May 1st, May Day. This will be in time for Labor Day. So they're going to have to say, this is like the 21st century version. It's not a sequel. It's the same movie, but in a different location.
We got a break, Reb. And before the break, I'm going to ask you this question. You can ponder it before the other side. It seems to me that the tip of the spear here on pushing back against this COVID regime is local school boards and parents. And I want to know what you're seeing in Colorado on this front. If you're seeing local school boards and parents protest, we've got a break, and we're going to bring you back, Reb, on the other side. Then we're going to move on to other callers on Endpoint Side. So baby, let me hand you my love.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, we are back to In Plain Sight with the melodic tones of Lindsey Buckingham to calm us down. So Reb, my question to you, I think the tip of the spear here in pushing back against the COVID regime is local school boards and parents and students voicing their protests. Are you seeing that there in Colorado?
Jefferson County School District, the parents came out against wearing cover your nose and mouth, but they said, no, you got to do it. But they did have a protest against it, and they covered it on the radio, and I heard on radio. It was probably on the local broadcast, so they didn't want it, but they're going to be wearing it over their nose and mouth in Jefferson County Schools. As now, everywhere else, it's optional, but that's what I noticed here. And I just wanted to say we're getting attention, the Boy Scouts. They know us. They were banned in the Jefferson County schools from posting it on their Facebook page, anything with Boy Scouts. Some students told me, well, I was on the phone with the National Command Center, and they come up to me, you're Boy Scouts. Yeah, we're not allowed to mention you. They're threatened if they mention us in their school district. But there's schools all around that town we're on, and that's Jefferson County, did have a protest. They didn't want to cover nose and mouth, but they were turned down. They marched in front of the building, and they did. And there's no other protests I hear about around here, but that one really took place last week, and they just opened this week or something. Yeah, they probably just opened this week, so they don't have a choice. And I just want to say this is getting coverage that we want, and we're harassing the Secretary of Stupidity and that gang and telling them, hey, we don't want to see that scene that we saw 46 years ago over in Saigon and that waving, tearing down the U.S. flag on the embassy. That's coming in Kabul in a couple of weeks, obviously. But they want to remove the State Department goofballs, and they're going to do that. And also, I try to tell those people on this hardcore, I said, we don't have a sound for the vulture. On the VultureSquadron.com. I said, we have a sound that Michael played called the Sturzkamp Flugzeug. That means the Stuka dive bomber, because it's a goofy story. Yep. But they have that on the internet, the Stuka, Ju-87. They still have, they call them the Junkers. They're still around. But they gave me this, it was, people don't know who call in your show from the 50s. It was a company called COX. Someone gave me the stupid model, and you had to fly it with a 50-foot wire. They didn't have radio control back then. And the thing, it didn't make that screaming sound because they made a big cowl on the front of it. Some of your Nazi experts would call it, they'll know more about it. And it would climb and not that high, so you couldn't get it to dive bomb like it did. But if you pull the string right, the little red bomb underneath dropped. It was plastic. And it was a little toy. And it had an engine called 0.049 TD. And like the lighter fluid type, the like fuel. Pour it in. It was goofy and the propellers thin. Now they, everything's radio controlled. But back then, because where I lived, they gave me these goofy models. Everybody's big on that WW work. And they gave me this big boat called the Graf Bay. And, like, and it also had a handle and you could put it on the water. And you run the handle and the little propeller is thin. It was goofy models of that war. We don't collect that stuff. We're not interested. But people around me, they bring in medals. Back in the 50s, I think they were preparing people for militarism and that Eisenhower and his gang, Nixon. Goes back to them setting up that Vietnam, getting everybody hopped up for this. And now we're going to see a rerun, not a sequel, but another show of them taking people off the roof of the American Embassy. You've probably seen the newsreels of that before, right? Because they didn't have, it was like movie version. It wasn't like live action like they got today in the 21st century. So we're going to see that. All right, thanks. Keep putting our name out. Boat Scout Rev is getting linked around the world. I mean, we want to do our job for America. But yeah, what, to answer your question, nobody wants to cover their nose and mouth, but they're not putting up much of a fight in Colorado. And as far as the school district.
Okay, thank you, Rev. Appreciate it. Appreciate you ending the call there with the topic at hand. And we'll move on to William from Texas. William, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jeremy, for taking my call. This is my first time to ever call into any kind of political call-in show like this, you know, current events or anything like this. So I really appreciate you taking the call.
Thank you, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah, okay. And I want to thank you also, Jeremy, for the last two nights or the last, you know, the two times this week you went and spoke for the school board there in Kentucky. Obviously, I'm in another state. But, you know, we're all in this fight together, and everybody has to do their part. I'm glad you're a voice, not only here on RBN, but you're a voice there in your local community, you know. And you know, this is the fight we're in, folks. I don't know anybody and everybody who's listening. We need to realize that this is a fight. The enemies of our souls, the very enemies against us as people, as a people, or just as American people. Forget ethnos, you know, that aside. Guys, it's not a time to be passive. It's absolutely not a time to be passive. And our voice, just like Jeremy was doing at the school board meetings and the other people who spoke there and that are doing it in at least a few places across the nation and across the world, our voice is a weapon right now. We don't want to have to resort to to other kinds of weapons that are, you know, not verbal. I'll just say that. We want to use our voices as a weapon, you know, in our own circles, you know, whether someone's a mom of a few students, or someone's like you, Jeremy, who's just looking out for the youth and the students in his local community there. I mean, we have to realize we are up against traitors. These are traitors in lower echelon places like school boards and all the way up the ladder, all the way up to the string pullers at the very top. The string pullers at the very top, you know, are the string pullers, yeah, and they have their puppets underneath them. But they're the one calling the shots, and their underlings are doing their evil bidding. And they're all, from the top down, They are all traitors. They are all treasonous scum. And you realize this, Jeremy, and I'm glad you're a Christian because I am too. We realize this, and you speak this openly on there. You're a Christian, you're a believer, and you know this whole battle is spiritual. You know, yep. You know it is. And that's what more of us, more people need to realize, that even our fellow brothers and sisters, we can't let up for a second now. They've pushed us into a corner. They pushed us into this, and we've got to fight back in the ways we know how. And right now, our voice is a weapon, our actions are a weapon. But what I was saying is, these people in high places pulling the strings, these people are committing treason against their said nations. They are committing traitorous actions against their own said nations. These are even crimes of humanity. And the last time I checked, there's at least, I think, 11 or more states here in the United States that still carry the death penalty by hanging for convicted persons of any said felony. And treason carries a death penalty. These people at the top are guilty of treason, traitorous actions against our nation, sedition, subversion. I mean, anything we can pin on them, quite frankly, Jeremy, we need to pin it on them. And it needs to stick. And right now, I'm already looking forward, brother. I am already looking forward to their indictments, their convictions, and every conviction has to have a public execution. It needs to carry the death penalty. We need to have public executions of those who are pulling all the strings and doing all this. We've got to find something that'll stick, that will carry the death penalty. The only thing that will stop these satanic scumbucket demonic dirtbags from the top down, Jeremy, is them, let's just say, not being around anymore. Am I right?
That's, in a perfect world, that's what it would lead to. And, you know, you mentioned the Christians pushing back. There's a lot of Christian leaders at both tonight's school board meeting and Wednesday night. And we're floating out the idea of, if the school system is not going to recognize our constitutional rights, we'll start our own school with the funding of the local churches. We'll pull these students out and under the First Amendment. And if the state tries to interfere, you know, we have the Second Amendment. I don't want it to lead to that. But right. As you said, you know, it could very well. But yeah, all your comments were very good and well taken. I appreciate it, William.
Yeah, because their goal, Jeremy, and you know this, their goal is, and you and Patrick talk about this all the time, and I'm still praying for Patrick to see the truth of the claims of Christ and become a believer like us, but at least he realizes, as you realize, you guys talk about it all the time, our enemy's goal is full-on world communism, full-on control, full-on tyranny, and it even states in our own Constitution, those of you guys who are listening to this in America, our own Constitution has in there that when there's an illegitimate form of government, it's in our Constitution, we have the right to overthrow it. We have the right to rid ourselves of it. And that's what we're looking at right now. We're looking at traitors and treasonous scum in high places calling the shots, and it's illegitimate.
Yeah, very well. And that's why they're using Bolshevik tactics to try to intimidate our school boards and our superintendents. They understand this, that if the people rise up, you know, that's if the people rise up, that is their that's where they're headed. So people will continue to rise up, and I appreciate the call. Call in again, William.
Yeah, I'll do that. I appreciate the show, Jeremy. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, William. And I just want to note a couple of things, is that the people that showed up at the school board meeting tonight and on Wednesday night were predominantly white working class. We welcome people of color if they want to show up and stand with us, but the majority of people there were white working class who were thinking as a collective. Their immediate response is not withdraw our students. Their immediate response was, we own this school and we want to renovate it. And that did my heart well. That really did. Let's move on to Dan from Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, I just want to say congratulations on all that, and I hope it goes well with your, it's cool that you're getting active and your local community is taking a stand against that, and we'll see how it goes. I called about your show yesterday when you brought up Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I noticed a lot of similarities with Schwarzenegger and Trump, because they were both actors that were in Hollywood light. They both kind of rode the wave of anger with illegal immigration and immigration. Basically, they used that energy to get into power. Because I remember Arnold Schwarzenegger, California had passed that law, I think it was Prop 212 or something, where illegals couldn't get school for government aid, unemployment, and the people passed that. You know, the people did what they were supposed to do. They got up and passed this bill. And Gray Davis, who was a Republican, but somehow one of the judges overruled it. And so I think Arnold Schwarzenegger they kind of went against Gray Davis. I'm not sure he was at fault, really. But Arnold Schwarzenegger got up there, and people thought he was based. People thought he was our man or whatever. And then he had a bunch of executive orders the first day, kind of like Trump. You know, I'm going to do all these executive orders. Or I think Schwarzenegger had a 10-point plan or something like that. And, so, you know, at first everyone's thinking, oh, cool, you know, this guy's different. And but then it all just fell apart after that. And I think by the end, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he cheated on his wife with his Mexican housekeeper. And the guy's just a slime ball. And I guess he was just working with the Democrats the whole time after, you know, it was. But I see a lot of similarity. These guys, and now Trump's with Bill O'Reilly, and that's another character that kind of rode the illegal immigration anger wave, and then he kind of converted it to other crap on Fox News, and it all just went nowhere, you know. And these guys they're masters of wasting time, you know what I mean? They so it's kind of like they say, they'll lead the movement to destruction. You know what I mean? That's what I'm seeing with that. All these characters that.
It's like we send somebody in there who we think is not controlled, and they just get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, by the system. And were they controlled from the beginning? I don't know, but the end point is that they were overwhelmed and they didn't accomplish what we sent them in there for.
Right. They were smart enough to know what we wanted to get elected, and then it's like when Schwarzenegger comes out and says, screw your freedom. Now, he wasn't really running on, like, a populist thing. He was more of, like, a get tough on crime and death penalty and all this stuff. But, it's like, do you respect what your base wants at all, or were you... one other thing... Have you heard anything? I tried to watch this Mike Lindell thing, my browser didn't work, and I think that's almost part of an act at this point, because he could have gone on Gab or something. Have you seen any evidence of this counting in Arizona, like any new evidence that anything's going to happen here? Because after this week, I'm done with it. I'm not... You know, if Arizona goes nowhere, I don't think it's going anywhere anyway, but I'm keeping an open mind if they have, you know, new solid evidence, but I'm not seeing it other than the same old, you know, hacking, you know, computer hacking and stuff like that.
The only thing I can see coming positive out of the recounts is to just reiterate to the American public that these elections are not legit, and that there is not a political solution on a federal level, And that's, you know, if they can prove fraud in all of these states, that would just push the populace more towards, you know, this whole thing is illegitimate. It would expose the delegitimacy of the system itself.
But they're not, right? I mean, there's no, I mean, I don't trust computer voting, but they haven't come up with, like, say, you know, 10,000 stacks of fake ballots yet, have they? And that's what I'm saying. If they're not able to prove that, really. You know, they're, am I wrong? Like, I mean, other than the voting program could be hacked with that company, I haven't seen any hard evidence. Even though I think it was rigged, but they're not producing the evidence. And maybe the Republicans don't want them to, because, you know, I mean,
well, that's a valid point. That's a valid point. The Republicans don't want them to. They want to continue on with business as usual and just stay in office. And so they don't want to, the Republicans don't want to expose election fraud. And that's the pushback. But I think enough the populace of America understands that this election was fraudulent, and at least questionable, at the least. And I hope that reiterates the delegitimacy of the system, and that we got to fight back from the local level up. That's where I'm at with it. But anyway, we got a couple other
callers. Yep, yep. Have a good weekend. Good job fighting on your local level there. Take care, man. Hey. Good luck.
Thanks a lot, Dan. We got next James in Vancouver. James.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, they came for you individually. They came for your governor first, it looks like. You could try an injunction to countermand what the governor is going to do, and you'll need a good lawyer for that. And I'm thinking a guy like Robert Barnes, right? He would know how to write up an injunction and serve it to the court and try to stop what the governor is going to do. See?
Yeah. Well, all of our lower level judges, as well as Daniel Cameron, our state attorney, I mean, they're pushing back on the governor. But what's going to come down to it is this: the Kentucky State Supreme Court, who are all liberal, except for three. They're going to side with the governor and the COVID regime. And so we almost could say, well, that's a good fight. Thanks, Cameron.
Yep.
But at the local level, the pushback with students and teachers, that's where it's at. Go ahead, James.
You're going to have to counter anyway. You're in the fight, and you did a good thing on Wednesday, I believe, and then they waited 24 hours. Now they come back at you. Now you got to go back at them. See what I'm saying? Paralegal. Go ahead.
No, as you said, that's exactly what happened, you know, is that
the
parents and students are coming out and, you know, in hundreds and voicing their opposition to this. Right. And the school board tonight left the meeting. Half the school board just left, didn't want to hear from us. And one Marshall County canceled the school board meeting on Monday because they knew what they would get.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Now, all you people are good people, and the right is on your side. You are right. And now you just get a good meeting together, and you organize, and you take them to the Supreme Court of Kentucky. Just do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, let it show on the record. But even when the Supreme Court slaps us down, we continue on. We pull the students.
That's right.
And we form our own schools under the First Amendment.
Nobody can say you didn't do it, you know, in a fair, legal, diplomatic manner. See what I mean? Anyway, I'll let you go. You have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks a lot, James. And next we got Andy from Texas.
Well, hey, thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate the time you're giving me here. First off and foremost, I've heard too much about Arnold Schwarzenegger and his little Suarez. Forget your freedom. Hey, do you know where you at? You in America.
Yeah.
You in America. We don't forget our freedoms. I'll meet that guy. any day of the week, anywhere he wants to. We can put it on TV. And he's going to find his teeth in a better place than his mouth when I get done with him. I don't care how big and tough he thinks he is. We don't need people like this coming out, these stars coming out and trying to dribble on us. They're dribbling on us. They're trying to take our freedom away with sympathetic things. I mean, come on. People, you're being, what is that word? You're being dreamed. You're being dreamed into where you're living at right now. They throw in scenarios at you that don't even exist. You know how you dream? Sometimes you wake up and you go, huh, that was just a dream. Well, these people are living their lives right now and they can't wake up and go, damn, that was just a dream. So everything is a scenario right now. And we got idiots like Arnold Schwarzenegger coming out here. Thank God he didn't have a path to the presidency, because his popularity would have got him that. And where would we be now? I mean, Joe Biden isn't any better, but I'd challenge him to a fight too, but I have a feeling he'd fall over before I hit him. This is past a joke. Anyway, Jeremy, you're short on time. I just wanted to chime in. Hey, Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you're listening right now, I got a knuckle sandwich for you. Come and get it. Have a good night there, Jeremy.
Wow. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Andy. Always appreciate the call. And yeah, you know, they use these figures like Schwarzenegger, who were in Hollywood, and they were playing the role of the, you know, the male fascist, the male hero that overcomes. And we have that in our minds, those of us, you know, in our 40s, 50s, and 60s that grew up watching these movies. And they subvert these people, and they get them to say things that are, you know, in support of the virus regime. And it's a psychological warfare. But anyway, I appreciate all the callers. Thanks for calling in. And I will be back on Monday night, maybe with some more news footage of the school board meeting tonight as they air it on In Plain Sight. You guys take care. Have a great weekend and stay classy.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.